Well, all the regions and NEC members and others involved in South African football will be gathering on Saturday for SAFA's elective conference. It's a hugely important election. I think there's widespread consensus about that. Will the outcome necessarily fundamentally and quickly change the way South African football is run? Probably not, but all things begin with a small step. The question is, in what step will that first step in what direction will that first step go? Let's find out a little bit more, though, about how the elective process works and how the politics that are clearly very much out there in regard to the build-up to the election might be influenced by the voting structures and systems. Dennis Mumble is a former CEO of SAFA, but also an author and researcher on sports governance in general, but focusing in particular on those issues as they affect football. Dennis Mumble, welcome, and thanks very much for your time. I've heard you say on other platforms that you feel the SAFA constitution and the way the organization is set up is not particularly conducive to democratic outcomes and effective ones and accountable ones. Tell us why you say that. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon to you, John, and good afternoon to the listeners. You're absolutely correct. I've been advocating this for a number of years already. That constitution of SAFA, first of all, needs to be aligned with FIFA properly. They say that they've aligned it with the FIFA regulations or FIFA requirements, but they haven't done that. There are a number of things that are quite toxic in that constitution. You know, it has a number of unrealistic eligibility criteria that really militates against meritocratic governance or a meritocratic system where people with real capacity can be elected onto the National Executive Committee. So it's a popularity contest, which is a political contest. And in an organization like this, it's not always the best thing to do. You know, the power distribution within the organization constitutionally is just not optimal, where there's an equal distribution of power so that no one body dominates the other.
Right.
There's, you know, misinterpretation of the statutes on a just a routine basis, because some of the provisions are just so opaque that it, you know, it lends itself to varying interpretations. Then there's just the downgrading or the demotion of some members. You know, some members are more equal than others. There, for instance, the PSL is being completely sidelined in SAFA constitutionally because they can't nominate anyone for the presidency. Now, if they're a member, you're either a member and you have full rights, or you know, or you
yes.
don't, and you are treated like every other member. Then there's legalized executive presidency, so to speak, that is being created now, you know, that really goes against the grain of what the Picard Commission in 1997 recommended, that SAFA should not have an executive presidency. But yes, we see now in practice you really do have an executive presidency. Then I think for me, a calamity that occurred in 2022 is the fact that the SAFA Congress, the highest decision-making body in the organization, their authority has been completely removed from the Constitution. And I can go on and on with a long list of items that really makes that Constitution so toxic.
Yeah, it really is a list, and as you indicate, there's more to discuss. Let's talk a little bit about the votes. As I understand it, there are roughly 264 people who will be voting. 208 of those come out of the regions. I assume, given they're 52, there's four per region. If you know, for example, in the ANC, if you're getting KZN and you're getting Gauteng and you're getting the Eastern Cape, you're well on your way to office. Do we have similar centres of power in SAFA? And if so, where are they?
Well, John, first of all, I think I must explain to the audience that, you know, SAFA has three categories of members. One is the regional member, the other is the associate member, 10 associate members, 52 regional members, and one special member, which we know as the PSL.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three categories of members. And in a normal organization, you have members only voting at a Congress. But in this case now, since the 23rd of May, you have non-members who also have been given a vote. The non-members that I've been, that I'm referring to, are National Executive Committee members, which amounts to me is like, you know, you are stealing votes from other people, from those members. You are literally degrading the votes of the members because you are now giving a body with delegated powers the you know, equal stature as those who actually are doing the delegating, meaning the Congress. So you're literally promoting a body with delegated powers to the same stature as your Congress. It's consistent with what happened since 2022 when the Congress's powers was removed, because now you have an overbearing presidency, you have an overbearing National Executive Committee that dominates all of the other the six other bodies of the organization. So out of the seven bodies, one body really top-heavy, controlling the organization and just creating havoc. But what you have in terms of the votes, now with this new addition, this artificial addition of members, of votes, you now have a potential vote of 264. Four of the NEC members were expelled, prompted by the Minister of Sport, by the way, and I think the public must know that he's the one that stood up in the SAFA Congress on the 24th of May and recommended that they be expelled. And that's really, for me, interference in football matters, right? Direct interference that led to that expulsion. So you have this artificial addition, which now takes the vote tally, the potential vote tally, to 64. Minus the four who were expelled,
yes.
But 208 from the regional members. Then you have the 36 NEC members, and then the six votes from the PSL, and then the 10 votes from the associate members. So, now, it doesn't mean that 260 votes will be cast, because
yes.
What they are busy doing is they are eliminating some members, even today and yesterday, telling people you can't attend the Congress because you are not in compliance. And, you know, this compliance check happens once, you know, every 4 years, a week or two before the Congress, but is not done, you know, on a regular, consistent basis in between or well before the election. So you have that complication in how the votes and the vote tally is being cooked. To favor what I believe to favor the incumbents.
So,
but again, it starts with the Constitution.
So right back to where we started on the Constitution, but let's talk about the race itself. I mean, if you, as I understand it, KZN, I think roughly 44 members, 11 regions, the Eastern Cape, I think, has 8, Western Cape ought to have a good number as well. In terms of that kind of balance and your point about the NEC members not coming up through that democratic process in the same way as noted, but does this favour the challenger, Sandile Zungu? Does it favour Danny Jordan in any way? Are they likely to have particular strength in particular regions, or is that unknowable at the moment?
Well, the way I read the political picture, John, is I think there's a, you know, a movement afoot in KZN, for instance, where Sandile Zungu has started, I think, on a great footing. He was approached by five regions in that province who asked him to stand, and he availed himself when they approached him. Now, that number has not gone down, and I believe they are saying that they've increased that number. So if you start off with five, then clearly, you know, there is a great possibility that they may have more numbers on his side. Although the other camp has had a meeting in KwaZulu-Natal last week, I believe,
right,
on Friday, and I saw four regional presidents present in that photo that I saw. I don't know what that signifies, but both sides are still very confident. I know in the Eastern Cape, they have also made some inroads there. In the Western Cape, I'm not quite clear. There's too much happening in the Western Cape in the way of elections being contested and the attempt to remove certain leaders who are not in support of one camp from the structures there. In the Northern Cape, if I can just step back for a second, John, you know, the elections happen in three phases. It starts with LFA elections, then regional elections,
okay,
and then That process influences the national elections. Now, in most of the 343 local football associations, I have detected that very, you know, not many of them have actually gone to elections in the sequence that it was envisioned when this process was started. So there's a problem there with the base, you know, and how that influences the regional elections and how the regional elections are being conducted. And then you have other factors, like there's one committee that's become particularly toxic, which is the Membership Affairs Committee, that's literally interfering in elections on the local level, where they are going down to the regions and some LFAs to actually run elections from the national office. The national office has no authority to do that.
Yes.
Each member has its own constitution and is supposed to conduct its elections according to their constitutions, but they've been imposed upon. So there's a lot of questions, I think, in the process that will affect, I think, tomorrow's outcome. But listening to the Zungu side, they are very confident that they have the numbers and they will spring a surprise tomorrow. Now, you know, by the same token, on the other side, the Jordan camp is also saying, listen, we have this in the bag. You know, and from past experience and the way that they've manipulated the elections, I really, you know, am not sure exactly how it's going to turn out. We just, like the rest of the South African public,
yes,
wish that a change must come.
Thank you so much, Dennis Mumble, former SAFA CEO. He's also an author and researcher on sports governance, focusing in particular on football administration. If you're involved in football, maybe at an LFA level, firstly, your thoughts on the SAFA elective Congress tomorrow. But secondly, a response, if you like, to what Dennis Mumble was saying there a moment ago, feeling that there was an undermining of the democratic process all the way down at local football association level, which in turn produces the voting delegates, amongst other consequences and of an electoral outcome. But that's one of the things that does shape who comes to Joburg to cast their votes. So if you're in football and have a view, or if you're not but love the game, give me a call and let me know what you think. 072-702-1702-011-883-0702, 28 minutes past 4.